Hi, I'm Brother Hammett. It's a joy to have you in worship today. If you're worshiping at home, I invite you to prepare yourself and your surroundings. Get comfortable, maybe light a candle or two. We usually celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, and you're always welcome to join us for that. Just have a little bread and grape juice or wine for everyone. Please let us know that you're here by scanning the QR code with the camera on your phone or smart device, or simply post a comment in the chat. I pray God blesses you through this service. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everybody? All right, not so great. Miss Anglin's great. Other than that, it's all right. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. You know, if you're not doing great, if you're still kind of sleepy, if the donuts got you down, there's one way to get through all of that, and that's to worship God. Let's stand and do that together, all right? You ready?
Before the lion and the lamb, oh, every knee will bow before him.
Amen. Sing this one.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Yeah. Your presence, Lord. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. And we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing worth more.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living. The sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, in your presence, we sing to you, we sing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Come flood this place
and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. 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 Have a seat.
Amen. Have a seat. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we gather on this beautiful Sunday morning, as we always do, as your children together, to praise and glorify your name, to give you thanks for all the blessings in which you continue to pour into our lives, those blessings that we see, those blessings we don't quite see yet. We all walk through this door today in different spaces, with different hurts and frustrations and angers, with different health conditions and fear and worry. But God, we come together knowing and trusting that you are alive and at work in all of our lives, that your will and your spirit moves powerfully in us and among us. And so we gather this day, regardless of where we are, regardless of how we feel, to give you thanks for all that you are. God, this morning we pray for all of those in our community who need healing, who need love, who need mercy. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for Val Carr. We pray for Gene Hammett and Mark Schimmer, for David Mackey and Edith Roberts. We pray for Hugh Roberts and Gail Pulley, for Arlen Thomas and Deborah Gangliff. We pray for Bob and Janie Clements and for Marlene Idaker, for Linda Staten, for Noah Logan, and for all of those names, God, who sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you're at work in all of their lives in a mighty and powerful way, and so we ask nothing else more than that your will be done. And God, we gather this morning, as we always do, to give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has taught us so much, who has taught us how to navigate this world with a heart of peace, to show love to others when it feels like we don't have it in us to do so. God, we thank you for his death on the cross, the mighty victory at the resurrection that set us free from our own sin and death. And we ask today, God, that a spirit be renewed in us, one of grace and mercy to all of those who need it. God, we thank you for this precious moment, this time where we can pray to you, thank you for our blessings, and to bring you our burdens. We thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. Let's all now say that together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue worshiping with us today. This is a good song to sing when things are going really well, but it's also a great song to sing when things are not going well, because God is still great, still all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. This song just gives him praise.
Grace and peace.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise with your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
Before you grab a seat, find someone around you and tell them, good morning, how are you? You're welcome here, and pass the love and the peace of Jesus.
Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're here. As we greet one another in person, you're welcome to greet each other in the chat if you like. You may also use this time to sign in or download the sanctuary bulletin by scanning the QR codes or by using the link below. May the peace of Christ be with you as we worship together.
I was supposed to start the welcome about 30 seconds ago and I got carried away. Good morning and talk amongst yourselves. Pay no attention to me, but welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. Welcome to our launch service. What a joy it is to see all of you here today. I feel an energy in the room, and I love it. If you're watching online, thank you for being with us. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans, who's behind me with the shark tie on, and it looks beautiful.
Nice.
And he'll be preaching today out of John chapter 14. We are going to talk about how we engage those among us who may be of another faith, how we engage Buddhists and Muslims and Jewish folks within our community as Christians. And so I pray that message is a blessing to you. If you have an opportunity, please take a moment. You see some folks with their phones up. They're not ignoring me. They are scanning that QR code, which will give them an opportunity to log their attendance. When you scan that QR code, you can also put in prayer requests, find out about upcoming events. You can volunteer for upcoming events. And if you're visiting with us, first of all, amen. We are so thankful you're visiting this morning. But you can also get more information about Asbury by scanning that code. And so with that, I'd like to invite the ushers forward for our time of offering. Today we're thinking all about how we engage those that are outside of our Christian community, but we also have an amazing opportunity today. If you look behind you, this gigantic monstrosity is what we call Nine Square in the Air, and our youth built that. And so we have the Ignite event this afternoon at Asbury, and that's for the Central District youth. As of a few days ago, we had 100 students registered that'll be here. That doesn't include our group, and so we're expecting about 150 to 160 kids here. That is one of the ways in which Asbury blesses the community around us. And so as we enter into this time of giving, think about your time, think about your talents, think about your financial gifts, and ask yourself one question. Do I trust God with those resources? And do I trust that God is going to put them to a mighty purpose in this community? If you look around you, friends, it's evident, because Asbury's doing great work here on Napa Valley, and we thank you for being part of that. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you always just for giving us this opportunity to gather. During this time of offering, God, help us to lean into you, to trust that you are going to take these resources and apply them in a way far greater than we can imagine or comprehend. God, we thank you as we always do for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you are. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
The launch band is so excited to play at the youth event tonight, but I thought that thing back there, Nick, was to put them with if they acted up or something. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Have led me through the fire. My darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as my best friend. Oh, I have lived in the goodness of God. Come forward, and I guess Nicole can come forward too, and give a children's message.
y'all today? Good? Okay, I want you to picture taking a trip or going on a hike. What is something that you might need to help yourself not get lost and end up where you're supposed to go? A map? A compass? Can you think of anything else? Do what? God, you're right. Well, you know what? I think we're done here because that was what we're getting there. What about signs? What if you see signs that point you, like maybe on a hike, it might say trail this way. Have you ever seen that before? Yeah. Pinnacle Mountain.
Yeah.
Uh huh. You saw a sign like that on Pinnacle? That's awesome. Well, what about when you're driving somewhere in your car? Have you ever noticed maybe your parents using like a map in their car, like a GPS? It's like, turn right. And the voice talks. Have you heard that before? Yeah. So if we didn't have these tools, what would happen? We would get lost. Would we maybe like end up at the wrong place or maybe make a wrong turn? Yeah. And is that fun? No, we want to end up where we're supposed to be, right? So in our life, we also need help getting where we're supposed to go and making the right turns. And there's something that will help us do that. Does anyone think that they know what it is? What do you think? A trail, maybe? Life is like a highway. Can anyone else think of something that might help you in life? Pinnacle Mountain. You know what? I think I'm going to read our scripture. I think it's time. I think we're ready for that. Okay, so in our scripture reading today, we're going to hear, it says, Jesus said, I am the way. So Jesus said that he is the way. So do you think that we need to have Jesus to make the right turns and to end up where we're supposed to be in our life? Yes. So Jesus is the So if we have Jesus and we keep our eyes on Jesus, will we get lost? Will we end up where we're not supposed to be? We're going to end up exactly where we're supposed to be. That's right. So Jesus is the way. That's right. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, help us each day as we journey through life to follow Jesus, because we know he is the only way. We love you very much. Amen.
All right. As Nicole gave you a heads up about our scripture reading this morning, is from John's Gospel. We're in chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 this morning. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I'll return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place I'm going. Thomas asked, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you will also know the Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning and welcome to Asbury. It's nice to see y'all here in the room, and a nice warm welcome to those of you who are joining us online. We're glad that you are here too. And if you are just now joining us, I encourage you to scan the QR code and you can sign in and give and find out about upcoming events in the life of our church family. I missed one thing. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Well, this morning we're starting a new sermon series, and it's going to be called Keep It Between the Ditches. When I was a student in seminary, one of my church members at the church that I served at the time, his name was John, and I was driving back and forth to Emory every day. It was an hour one way, twice a day, so I was putting a lot of miles on my car. So whenever I'd see John, I'd say, oh, I'll see you later, and he would always look at me and say, you keep it between the ditches, preacher. And I thought that was a wonderful way to look at life, a wonderful way to look at life. It's a very United Methodist way to look at life and different issues. United Methodists are people of what we call the middle way. John Wesley called it the Via Media, the middle way. And so today we're going to begin with a question that I get asked a lot in a variety of ways. The sermon title is, Can Buddhists Go to Heaven? But I hear it in a lot of different ways, like do non-Christians get to go to heaven or do they go to hell? Sometimes you hear, how do we relate to people of other faiths and people of no faith at all? And so the question is, how do we relate to Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and so on? And I want to say that this is a very personal question for me. It's not just an intellectual thing. I've known Muslims and Buddhists and Jews and Hindus since I was a very young boy. Our next door neighbor when I was in third and fourth grade was Muslim. And we played together and hung out together and got to know each other. And so I want to ask you, how many of y'all have ever had like a good friendship with a person of another faith, like a Jewish person or Hindu or whatever? Raise your hand. Yeah, see, so that's exactly what I'm saying. These folks are people that we know and that we care about. And they're people in our families, in our community. They're folks that we love. So credit where credit's due. I need to acknowledge the work of Jay McDaniel, Dr. Jay McDaniel, not Jay McDaniel, the bass player. We had this conversation more. Our Jay used to get Dr. Jay's mail. But anyway, that's another story. But Dr. Jay McDaniel at Hendricks College is very influential in kind of what I'm going to share with you. And also Thomas Tongaraj at Candler School of Theology when I was in seminary. Wrote a very wonderful book about how to present Christ in one particular strand of Hinduism. And Dr. Tongaraj's work influenced some of what I will share with you as well. I also need to acknowledge Adam Hamilton's book, Christianity and World Religions. There's a little bit of that in a couple of places. But one of the things that I love about being United Methodists is that we can come to different conclusions about important issues, even issues like this one. I'll be straight up with you. Brother Nick and I disagree about this, amen? And guess what? Brother Nick and I love each other, amen? And I love working with Brother Nick, and we have found a way to be partners together in ministry in ways that you normally wouldn't see in the world, amen? So I want you to know, he's on one of the other teams that I'm going to mention today, and I love him anyway, amen? All right, I just want you to know that. So let's begin with prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we thank you for giving us the gift of your Son, our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Through his grace, through his life and death and resurrection, you have rescued us from evil, sin, and death and set us on a new path. And so, God, we pray that you will pour out his Spirit upon us now as we pray together and think together. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. So can Buddhists go to heaven? How do Christians relate to people of other faiths? You know, it's an important question in our world today. When you look out of the 6 billion people in the world, 2 billion of us consider ourselves Christian. So that's about a third. Almost 2 billion are Muslim, and they are gaining fast on us. So that's another third. 1/6 are Hindu. That's about 1 billion people. 500 million are Buddhists. Almost 15 million are Jews. And so when you add all those up, more than 2/3 of the world's population belong to these 5 religions. Now, you add the others in, and over 90% of the world's population is seeking ultimate truth, but 2/3 of the people in the world are not Christian. The Bible teaches us that all of these people, Christian or not, are created in God's image, just as much as we are. God formed them in their mother's wombs. God knows the number of hairs on their heads. And yes, for them, some of them are easier than others to do that for. God loves them just as much as God loves us. And so we also know the conflict that arises when people of other faiths clash with one another. Israel, Iraq, Pakistan, India, the United States, in a world embroiled in war and conflict, it's more important than ever for us to decide how we as Christians relate to people of other faiths. So Christians answer this question in one of 3 ways. The first is exclusivism, and this, I believe, is where Brother Nick falls. The first is exclusivism. Sometimes it's called particularism, and this has been the predominant view. It's the traditional view of Christianity over the last 2,000 years. Most folks will point to John 14:6 as the verse to support it. That is where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Extreme exclusivism says that anyone who does not profess with Jesus Christ with their lips as his Lord and as their Lord and Savior is going to hell. There's versions of hyper-extreme exclusivism that says that Christians who don't belong to a particular denomination are going to hell. I know we good Methodists have never heard that said of us, but that's not true. More moderate exclusivists might say that if someone has not had a chance to hear about Jesus, then God will judge them according to what they do know. So exclusivism is appealing to me in a variety of ways. For one thing, it gives us a sense of security, that we are on the right track. For another thing, it gives spreading the gospel a sense of urgency. If people are going to be lost eternally, if they don't hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, then we want to share it with them immediately, amen? We don't want to wait. We don't want to hesitate. And so it gives the sharing of the gospel a sense of urgency. And there are many biblical passages to support this view. Now, in the end, what I find about exclusivism is that it doesn't take into account what the Bible says as a whole. And let me unpack that a little bit. A great question to ask whenever you read Scripture is, what is the context? What are the circumstances in which that Scripture takes place? And in John 14:6, what we see is that Jesus is not talking to people of other faiths. And the question that he's asked has nothing to do with people of other faiths. No, he's talking to Thomas, who was a disciple. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells his disciples in his Last Supper, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you, and you know where I'm going." And we saw last week that Thomas says, we don't know. We have no idea. What are you talking about, Jesus? How can we know where you are going? How can we know the way? And Jesus looks at Thomas, his follower, and to assure him of good things, he says, "Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one gets to the Father except through me." You know me, Thomas, is what he's saying. You see me, you see the Father. You're going to get there. In John chapter 10, Jesus says these words, and these do address people of other faiths in the same gospel. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep." And then listen to what he says next. He says, "I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. I must lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." What Jesus is saying there is that he laid down his life for all of God's children. Or you might remember Matthew 25, 31 through 46, where people who think they served Jesus in life end up going to everlasting punishment, while those who did not even know his name or have any idea that they were doing anything for Jesus, but did help others, receive the eternal reward. You see, when you look at what Jesus said about the afterlife, he consistently said that good religious people like us, some of us good religious people, are going to be surprised to see some folks in heaven. And friends, some of them are going to be surprised to see us. Amen? Well, in the Bible, God always reserves the right to save whomever God chooses. Judgment belongs to the Lord. The Bible also portrays a God who loves all people. In Jesus' life and death and resurrection, we see God's radical, unconditional love for a broken world. And so my difficulty with exclusivism is this question. How do we reconcile the love of Jesus Christ with a God who would condemn to eternal damnation
2/3 of his children simply because they were born in another culture. I also believe that there's a theological danger to exclusivism in that it can assume in different varieties that our profession of faith saves us. And that sounds like works righteousness to me. Our actions and our words don't save us. Only God's act in Jesus Christ can do that. So what about people who will never be able to make that kind of profession with their mouth? You know, some people with disabilities are unable to speak or are cognitively impaired. We still believe that God's grace is available to them, amen? And children, too. So why shouldn't God's grace be made available to people who were simply not born in a predominantly Christian culture? Well, the second way that Christians answer this question of how to relate to people of other faiths is called pluralism. It's called pluralism. And again, there are different shades of pluralism that we don't really have time to get into. But in general, pluralists are people who say that the different religions are one mountain, many paths. And so there's one goal in mind at the peak, but each religion is a different path up the mountain to get to ultimate truth. All religions then are equally valid ways to reach ultimate truth. Some kind of radical pluralists will say, well, you know, what's true for me may not be true for you, and that's okay. And I like pluralism for a lot of reasons. I have some pluralistic leanings. I think it respects the mystery of God, that God is deeper than any understanding or articulation of God. It also shows respect for other people's religious experiences, and it affirms the biblical notion that God is free to save whomever God chooses. However, there are some limitations to pluralism, especially as we see it in our culture. For one thing, I don't think, you know, kind of radical pluralism takes into account the real differences between the religions. You know, when someone comes to me in a class or, you know, on the street or whatever, and says all religions reach the same goal, it tells me that they have not studied the world's religions. And here's one example. The goal, and I use that term loosely because it's Buddhism, but the goal of Buddhism is nirvana. Nirvana is the extinguishment of desire and personhood. Well, the extinguishment of desire and personhood is a very different goal than becoming perfected in God's love eternally. So before we ask whether or not Buddhists can go to heaven, we might want to ask first, do they really want to? And the answer is, some of them don't. Some of them are, if they say if there is a heaven, it doesn't really matter. If there are gods or a god, it really doesn't matter. Some branches don't. On top of that, it's really offensive to tell a Hindu that they believe what a Muslim believes, whether they know it or not, or to tell a Jewish person that they believe what Christians believe. And so that's where pluralism, at least in its very radical kind of forms, falls short for me. It does not take into proper account the very serious and significant and important differences between the religions. And by claiming that they are all headed in the same direction, pluralism can lose the essence or the uniqueness of each faith. So the third way that Christians answer the question of how we should relate to people of other faiths is called inclusivism. And inclusivism says that through the Spirit, God is at work everywhere in every human heart, even if there aren't any Christians around. This was the view of C.S. Lewis and also of John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism. Albert Outler, who was the preeminent Wesley scholar of the 20th century, once said that John Wesley had a pneumatocentric soteriology. Can y'all say that? Say it 10 times fast and you'll get a free ticket into heaven. Anyway, it's a real fancy way of saying the Spirit saves us. The Spirit saves us. So from the moment that we are born, the Spirit is alive and at work in our hearts, communicating God's love, God's unconditional love, the love that Jesus shows us. We Methodists call that prevenient grace, grace that comes before we know that there is even a God, or ever hear the name Jesus. Everybody has access to that grace. In a sermon titled The General Spread of the Gospel, Wesley says this: when it comes to people who never hear about Christ, he leaves that to the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is everywhere, and the Holy Spirit is Christ's Spirit, and it's available to all, everywhere, for all time. That is inclusivism. And you can probably tell I like inclusivism a lot. Theologically, it honors the fact that salvation is a work of the Spirit. It affirms God's love for all people. Inclusivism is faithful to the biblical theme that God can work through different religious traditions. If you don't believe that, I'll give you a couple of quick examples. Do you remember the story of the Magi? Remember, we say the three wise men, it's really three gifts. It might have been 200 wise men. And actually, the way the Greek is written, it could have been women too. Amen, women? So the story of the Magi, they were pagan astrologers. And the Bible never tells us to look to the stars for guidance. And yet God used a star, something from their own religious tradition, to guide the wise men to the Christ child. Paul does something very similar to that in Acts chapter 17. Inclusivism also accounts for the similarities between the great religions of the world. All of the great religions value love and compassion as the highest ideals of the religious life. Most of the religions advocate some form of the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Many of the Buddha's sayings are almost identical to the sayings of Christ. Just mysteriously so, weirdly so. And so inclusivists are comfortable saying that perhaps the same Spirit was at work in Christ that was at work in the Buddha 500 years later. They would also say, however, that any truth claims made by Buddhists or people of other religions should be judged by the truth of Christ. So for inclusivists, Christ is the norm and the criterion for faith, for authentic faith and spirituality. So that can bring us the downside, or the kind of the critical part of inclusivism. Inclusivism can become arrogant. You know, it's pretty conceited to tell somebody, your truth is my truth, whether you know it or not. I mean, next time, if you don't believe that, try that next time with your spouse or significant other when you're having a fight. Just look at them and say, honey, you really agree with me, even if you don't know it. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I love what my friend Reverend Bud Reeves used to say. We would be teaching a Methodism class together or a confirmation class, and you know, a hand would come up, and they'd say, well, what about people of other faiths? Do they get to go to heaven or do they go to hell? And Brother Bud would smile, and he would say, y'all, that's a management decision, and I'm in sales and service. I agree with Brother Bud. It is not my job to judge. Jesus says it's not my job to judge. It's my job to love others, whoever they are, unconditionally, as much as I possibly can, and to serve Christ in God's word. In the end, I think we're going to see that God will save whomever God chooses to save. And so I leave judgment to God. At the same time, I believe that some may not make it into heaven, because I believe that God will not force anyone to do anything, including being saved. So you'll have to decide for yourself where you stand on this issue. And there are a variety of ways of interpreting these things in all three of those categories that I've shared. I do think it's tough to be an extreme exclusivist or a radical universalistic polytheistic pluralist and still remain a faithful Christian. For me personally, I aim for being a humble inclusivist. I remember that as much training in theology as I have had, I don't know everything about God. And so I try to be open to new truths from people of other faiths, from people of no faith at all, and from people of my own faith who disagree with me. I believe that what the old song says, that they'll know we're Christians by our love. Mahatma Gandhi, who practiced what Jesus preached better than most of us Christians do, once said this. He said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. In a similar vein, John Wesley believed that the greatest obstacle to the spread of the gospel is what he called nominal Christians. These are Christians who are Christian in name only. In that same sermon that I mentioned earlier, Wesley says that true, living, breathing Christians walk as Christ walked. And Christ walked in radical, unconditional love for others, whoever they were. He shared that love with his followers. He shared it with the Jews. He shared it with his pagan neighbors, the ones we call Gentiles. And so let us commit also to sharing that same love, the love of Christ, with those around us. Whether they be United Methodist or GMC or Church of Christ, or whether they be Muslim or Hindu or Jew or whatever. I do believe that more than anything, what the world needs right now is love, unconditional love, the love of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we should obey Jesus' command to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Loving our neighbors of other faiths means that we have to look for what we have in common, and we have to work for the good of all. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for being with us today, and we thank you for the gift of your saving love in Jesus Christ. All that we do, all that we say, all that we pray about, all that we consider in our hearts and in our lives is for his glory and for the growth of his kingdom. And God, we pray that you will open our eyes so that we can see people of other faiths through the eyes of Christ himself, that we might be beacons of love and faith and hope and grace in your world. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. If you would like to become a part of our church family, you're welcome to do that on the singing of this last song. Just come forward at the end of it. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're also welcome to visit with me or Brother Nick about that after the service. We'd love to talk with you about that and set up a time when you could receive the sacrament of baptism. But let's stand now, and if you'd like to, you can use the prayer stations. You can come and pray at the rail if you like. But let's join together as we sing Revelation Song.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
We're so
glad that you were here today, and just a couple of things that are coming up in the life of our church family. Next Sunday is Senior Sunday, and I'm going to ask you to say something just a sec. If you got anything, you don't. Never mind. Well, you can here. Come stand close to me and tell it. Next Sunday, Senior Sunday, and then we have a special thing next Sunday night.
Yeah. So next Sunday night, we are doing a fundraiser for our youth group, so we can build more weird structures like that. We're doing tacos and trivia. Want to get your trivia team together, five or six people, no more than that, and show up that night with an awesome team name, come ready to have some tacos and a great time of fellowship. All that's going to be free, and then we're going to be accepting donations for the youth group. It's going to help us pay to get to and from Colorado, because I can get the kids there, but I won't be able to get them home.
One way ticket.
Do you want to? Do you want?
And oddly enough, they always want their kids back. So it'll be fun. And then next Sunday morning, Senior Sunday, we have 5 graduating seniors here at Asbury. We're going to take a moment to recognize them and just celebrate their accomplishments on that morning. So,
thank you, Nick. If you'll be seated for just a second, Thomas O'Banion is going to come and share an announcement with us.
Hey, good morning, members of Asbury. I'm Thomas O'Banion. I'm part of the SBR committee. The SBR received word this week from our district superintendent that Brother Hammett will be taking voluntary family leave beginning July 1st. Our committee and congregation thank Brother Hammett for his time and service to Asbury. His care and leadership for our congregation are greatly appreciated as we face some tremendous challenges such as COVID and more recently the tornado. And we'll most certainly miss his presence in the pulpit on Sunday mornings. Today is not goodbye. We'll have details at a later date about an official farewell, and we do not have any information about another senior pastor appointment at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. I want to say just to share a couple of things with you before I give you our blessing. First of all, I want you to know that I did not want this change, and I did not ask for it. I asked to remain at Asbury for another year, and I fought to do that. I also want you to know that this will be a big change for me. This will mark the end of 34 years of ministry in the local church. I'm grieving, I'm hurt, I'm angry, and I'm disappointed. And so I encourage you to address any questions that you have about the decision with the SBR, our district superintendent, and bishop. You may also want to discuss that with leaders from last year who got the ball rolling on. I do appreciate your prayers, and would you please stand now and receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord, and the people of God said,
we're so glad that you joined us today. If this service has blessed you, I encourage you to share it with someone else. You can do that by sharing it on your Facebook page, or you can text or email the link. If this was your first time to worship with us, there are a couple of ways that you may follow up. Be sure to check out our website at the link below. Click on the visitor information button near the top of the home page. There you can fill out an online connect card to help us to get to know you a little bit better. You may also sign up for our email list and find out how to join Asbury there. You may also connect with us by following us on Facebook and by subscribing to our YouTube page. Whoever you are and wherever you are always welcome at Asbury. If you live in Central Arkansas, we'd love to meet you in person. You can find us at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in West Little Rock. If you have any questions or want to visit about joining our church family, email me at the link below.